So it is my honor to introduce somebody who needs absolutely no introduction whatsoever, the voice of Wisconsin during the entire uprising, John Nichols. And I just want to say one thing that you might not know about him, because it's hard to think of something, and that is that his daughter and my daughter share the greatest child care provider in Madison, Wisconsin, Oma Vic McMurray, who's sitting in the front row. And that John not only is the voice of Wisconsin, the national media, but he is also a dad of a Madison Public School System student, and that during her kindergarten year, he went to lunch at her public school here in Madison every single day. So I give you John Nichols.
All right. Yeah. That is in fact true. And I found that the training of opening yogurt containers and encouraging children to eat their carrots was very, very useful in dealing with politicians. Although I will tell you that having dealt with the current legislature, I would be very pleased to replace most of them with the Lapham lunchroom. Now, my goodness, let me just say up front, as we always should at gatherings of this sort, that I know we were talking about electing a governor of Wisconsin. We could certainly use one. But I would be remiss if I did not say that for the better part of a decade, or actually the better part of 15 years, I have had a governor of Wisconsin. I have had a governor who, when the Democratic Party in this state was talking about standing down and allowing Tommy Thompson to walk to re-election in 1998, an act that would have ensured the defeat of Russ Feingold and that would have destroyed the Democratic Party and the progressive movement in this state for a generation, one man stepped up and said, "I will not let that happen." That man ran the campaign that rebuilt the Democratic Party in this state and rebuilt the progressive movement in this state. And my governor of Wisconsin since then, and for as long as I will be able to speak a word in this state, is Ed Garvey. And if I got to have a lieutenant governor, I think I'm picking Ruth Conniff. Now, I want to also say we're in a room with so many distinguished people, and I would begin, of course, with Oma. And I'll tell you that she's organizing this fabulous event on the 12th? 12th at the Madison East Side Club. And she's going to have kids reading from the Constitution. I know that is a radical concept, but if you remember when Melissa Sargent got her kids arrested up at the Capitol, I think we are going to have to teach our kids the Constitution. They're going to need it. So do come out and back up Oma's great event. I want to just say about Doug La Follette. I have known Doug since I was 8 years old. And I have always had immense respect for Doug La Follette. And he has been an absolutely principled and courageous political figure. But he was never more principled and more courageous than when he had the entire pressure, not merely of Governor Walker and the Republican legislature, but the right-wing messaging machine, not just in Wisconsin, but across the United States, attacking him when he followed the law and refused to file Act 10. Yeah. Doug La Follette stood up against the entire political pressure of the right, and he stood on our side to prevent that law from going into effect. He allowed unions to fight their contracts and to defend their working rights. If he had not done it, we would not be where we are today. And let me just say that as much as I respect Doug, I've got an equal level of respect for Kathleen Vinehout, because you know that if just one state senator had chosen not to go to Illinois, the ultimate sacrifice for any Wisconsinite, if one state senator had just buckled in that great struggle, everything would have fallen apart. And I will tell you, when I went to Illinois, to the lovely La Quinta Inn in the parking lot opposite Great America, it can now be told. When I went to Illinois And when we gathered in one hotel room with all of those state senators to talk, the one person who was absolutely unyielding and good-spirited and passionate about doing this for as long as it takes was State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. An absolutely courageous and passionate person who kept people's spirits up and who did not back down, who never backed down when she was down there with us in Illinois. Kathleen Vinehout. And I want to say to you, I want to say this. There's critical points in the great struggle here in Wisconsin. Critical points where we had in this county, Dane County, which has the legal authority over so many things that deal with the state, we had a challenge in this county. Would Dane County officials take the risk of standing up to Governor Walker and standing up to the political power, not just the legislature, but of, again, that right-wing messaging machine from across this country? And we were unbelievably lucky in that period, in February and March, that Kathleen Falk was our county executive, and she put the full force of Dane County behind the struggle for workers' rights in this state. Kathleen Falk with the full force of Dane County. But I will tell you, there's nothing quite like standing at the King Street entrance to the Capitol of this great state of Wisconsin, standing there on a cold winter afternoon, early evening, 50,000 workers, farmers, and their supporters from across the state rallying on behalf of basic human rights, knowing that the struggle was overwhelming, knowing everything that we were up against, feeling that we might not make it, not sure that we could build what we needed to build, and then in the distance to hear the sound of bagpipes and to watch marching into the center of that rally, local 311 Wisconsin firefighters led by Malin Mitchell into the center of that rally in a show of solidarity that united the whole labor movement in this state, public sector, private sector, fighting against Governor Walker's agenda. Malin Mitchell led those firefighters into our midst and led us through this struggle. Malin Mitchell. I'll tell you, so I got no choice for governor. Although I did hear, and we just heard minutes ago, that Tim Cullen, state senator from Janesville, has decided to drop out of the governor's race. Tim was one of those people who went to Illinois. I honor him greatly for having stood strong in that struggle. And I kind of amused by the fact that Governor Walker said how much he liked him, and yet Tim didn't come back. And so I give Tim high marks, but Tim has decided not to run. Other people may run. That's the reality. Politics brings people in, pushes people out. But I want to tell you that to my mind, the race that is about to begin is not about who the Democratic candidate is. In fact, I will tell you, I'll be voting in the Republican primary for Charlie Uphoff, who will be challenging Governor Walker in the Republican primary. Yeah. But folks, this is not about who the Democratic candidate is. We have reduced ourselves to such silly punditocracy, such silly obsession with politics and positioning. Even we who are progressives, who are passionate about keeping money out of politics, about bringing ethics into politics, about talking about the environment and education and so many issues, we become such pundits that we fret about, oh, will we have the right candidate? Will we have this? I want to have the right candidate. I want to have the right race. But this race is not about who the Democratic candidate is. This race is about removing a governor who no longer honors his oath of office and must be removed no matter who his opponent is. Scott Walker is the issue, not the Democratic candidate, not who's running against him. The issue is Scott Walker. The issue is Scott Walker. And I want to tell you what a big issue it is. This morning in Arizona conservatives announced that they were going to launch a militant anti-labor agenda in their legislature not merely to limit collective bargaining, but to ban collective bargaining, to prevent any community from collectively bargaining with the union in that state, the most militant anti-labor law of our time. And on the website of the conservative group that is promoting that agenda, they have a picture of the Wisconsin Capitol when it is full of protesters saying, bigger than Wisconsin. Arizona's going to do more than Wisconsin did. That is what we're talking about. This state has become a national model for progressives as we push back, but it is also a national model for the right. This is where the whole fight plays out. If we lose here, this agenda will sweep across the country, and it will redefine America as it has never been redefined before, as an anti-labor, anti-environment, anti-citizen, anti-democracy republic where our basic rights are at stake every single day. That is the threat that is in play, and that is also the opportunity, because if we win here, we redefine the politics not just of Wisconsin, but of the Democratic Party and of progressive movements nationally, and ultimately, we redefine the politics of the United States coming from this place in this state. So I don't want to have any, I don't care, I don't really care about the internal petty politics of our time. What I care about is that we send the right signal from this state. And these folks in Arizona that just did this thing, do you know who taught them how to do it? Do you know who went down and briefed them? 2 days after Ohio voted 61-39, first referendum ever on collective bargaining rights, state of Ohio votes 2-1 in favor of collective bargaining rights. 2 days after Ohio cast its vote, Governor Scott Walker got on an airplane and flew to Arizona, and he appeared as the keynote speaker at the Phoenician Resort before the Goldwater Institute, which is the group that is pushing the Arizona law. And if you go online and take a look at the video of Governor Walker speaking at that event, Governor Walker says, opening up his remarks, you don't have to listen to the whole thing, it's toward the start. Opening up his remarks, he said, you know, when I was sworn in as the governor of Wisconsin, there had been a tradition in the state capital in Wisconsin for the better part of 100 years. Each governor who was sworn in the east wing of the Capitol, in front of a statue of a former governor of Wisconsin named Robert M. La Follette. This La Follette, it's in the tape. This La Follette, he was a hero of the progressive movement, of what they called progressives. Well, I wasn't going to do that. This is Governor Walker talking. So I moved the swearing in to the other wing of the Capitol, across the Capitol, so that I did not have to be sworn in under the watchful eyes of Robert M. La Follette. That is how this man started his governorship, but it is also how much he fears this movement. It is how much he despises you people in this room, because you are the living exemplars and the champions and the defenders of the legacy of Robert M. La Follette. And that is a legacy we're going to renew, because Walker is such a fool. He moved his swearing in across the Capitol because he said, oh, I want to be sworn in front of the Constitution of Wisconsin, not in front of the statue of Robert M. La Follette. Well, I believe one of his aides must have forgotten to remind him that Robert M. La Follette and the Wisconsin progressives amended the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin to include the recall power. Robert M. La Follette said the recall power must be placed in the Constitution so that if a governor dishonors his oath of office, he can be removed from that office. Now, I will suggest to you that when you claim that you are the governor of a state because you want to renew the economy, and you have had six months of job losses starting when you implemented your budget, when you have had that sort of failed economics, you have dishonored your oath of office to serve the people of Wisconsin. When you, as the governor of Wisconsin, choose to balance a budget not on the backs of the wealthy and out-of-state corporations, but on the backs of working public employees, teachers, snowplow drivers, nurses, and the children and the dislocated and disadvantaged people that are served by those public employees. You are not merely an economic failure, you are a moral failure. You have dishonored your oath of office when you choose to do that. And when your chief political appointee's home is raided by the FBI, when your political wingman, the guy who holds your coffee and holds your posters, is charged with felony theft of funds from a veterans charity that you put in his hands, when his partner is charged with child enticement using your campaign account, when your deputy chief of staff in the Milwaukee County Executive's office is charged with 4 felony counts of wrongdoing in office, and when it is revealed that your aides have set up a secret email system run out of a hollowed out ENVOIR, or as we say in Wisconsin, cabinet. When you have dozens of felonies and investigations, and the FBI and the Milwaukee County prosecutor are staying up nights to keep up with all of the legal challenges raised by your administration of your previous office, and when your own press secretary has taken immunity in a John Doe probe into government corruption, you have dishonored your office and you must be removed. But deep recall is not about legal crimes. It's not about ethics. Not about economics. Recall power, as it was outlined by La Follette, is a citizenship power. It is a power given to the people so that when we elect a governor, that governor does not serve as a monarch for 4 years. That governor serves as our representative, as our servant. We do not serve the governor. The governor serves us. The recall power makes that real. And you folks, people in this room, Nate Timm was talking about this. He was talking about this when we gathered back in February of 2011. When nobody else was talking about it, people, La Follette folks, Fighting Bob folks were talking about the recall power. This recall power has been realized in Wisconsin. I've traveled across this country. Do you know the excitement? Do you know the passionate excitement in this whole country about what's going on in Wisconsin? People are thrilled by what you are doing now. And I want to tell you how much you've achieved. I added up all the votes for all the Republican candidates for president in Iowa, in New Hampshire, in South Carolina. When you add them all together, it adds up to 970,000. But in Wisconsin, 1 million people have risen up to say that this governor must be removed from office. This is the biggest political story in America. This is the biggest political movement in America. Robert M. La Follette said, democracy is a life. And ladies and gentlemen, we are about to live it to its fullest. We are going to recall a governor. We are going to recall a lieutenant governor. We are going to recall 1, 2, 3, 4 state senators, and we are going to replace them with servants of the people. And that message is going out from Wisconsin to this whole country. Louis Brandeis said, Wisconsin is the laboratory of democracy. Louis Brandeis said, Wisconsin is the laboratory of democracy. That was a century ago. It is time we renew that responsibility. Let us be the laboratory of democracy for the 21st century. Let the word go out from this state. Let the word go out from this state. If you attack labor, if you attack voting rights, if you attack civil rights, if you attack the basic premises of small d democratic government, we will recall and remove you from office, and we will replace you with servants of the people in the spirit of Fighting Bob La Follette. Solidarity! Solidarity! Solidarity!
I heard you speak the first time when I introduced you at Fighting Bob Fest, and I said to him as we were walking away, you ought to think about being governor. Please welcome Malin Mitchell.
I've never been invited somewhere and then been forgotten about. I gotta apologize. First of all, thanks for having me, Ed. John, it's always good to see you. I feel like we're like brothers from another mother. I shouldn't say that. Herman Cain said that about the Koch brothers. I shouldn't say that. But I gotta apologize first. I got a somewhat of a frog in my throat. I have a sore throat. I was a little bit sick. I just came back from Orlando, Florida. It's tough. But I had the opportunity. I can tell you, I would have never had this opportunity unless it was for Ed Garvin. And that was to be on a radio talk show and sit down with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. So I thank you for that. And I met Cornel the first time at Fighting Bob Fest last year. And from that, we've had somewhat of a relationship. I've been able to speak with him, and it's been great. So let's get started. I'm going to actually just try to take 5 minutes because I got to be in Milwaukee by 5 o'clock. See if we can do that. So we're today's February 1st, right? And we're embarked on African American History Month. I've had a chance to go all around the state. It's unbelievable. I've been to Monaco, Wisconsin, Green Lake, Hudson, Spring Green, Oshkosh, obviously Final Lake, Appleton, Milwaukee, of course, Madison, of course, but all over the state, Beloit, Janesville, all over the state. But I got to tell you, when I was invited to go speak up in Monaco, Wisconsin, not only speak, which is somewhat normal, but to speak about Martin Luther King Jr. in Monaco, Wisconsin was somewhat of a surprise to me, but I think it was outstanding. I think we got to sometimes sit back and recognize where we are as where we used to be. Because we always sit and complain about where we're not or where we're not going, but we've made a lot of strides in the past decades. So let's talk about that. So I'm in a bar, believe it or not, I'm a firefighter. I'm actually at the Avenue Bar on the north side of Wisconsin. We have a, or north side of Madison. And we had a retirement party for a person that's from Merrill, Wisconsin. Actually, I want to speak up there too. He's from Merrill, Wisconsin. He's on the job for 40 some years. Started in Merrill, came down to Madison. He's a chief. And I was sitting there, and a couple of guys said, hey, man, where are you going next? Where are you going to speak next? I said, well, actually, I'm going to Spring Green. I'm going to Green Lake, and I'm going to Monaco. And they said, well, there's none of you up in Monaco. I said, what do you mean none of me? I said, black people? He said, no, Democrats. And I'm here to tell you that there were Democrats in Monaco. There weren't any black people. But there were Democrats. I actually went to speak in Washington County, too, in West Bend, which is the reddest county that we have in our state, I believe. And there are Democrats up there as well. There's still no black people, though. But anyway, let's get at it. We live in a time right now where decent American values are being trumped by political interest. We live in a time where bad politicians are being put in office by good people who don't vote. We live in a time where you can run for the President of the United States, the highest office in the land, most powerful person in the world, with a plan like 999, and be taken seriously. It sounds like a damn pizza special. Now, I'm sorry for cursing, but a revolution is not always PG. We live in a time where you can take a call from who you thought was one of the Koch brothers. But you can't take a call from a constituent. We live in a time where you can run for governor and say that help is on the way. We need shared sacrifice. The state is broke. We have a $3.6 billion deficit that we can't keep kicking down the road. We got to take care of our kids. We can't worry about elections. We got to worry about right now. Shared sacrifice. Well, let's talk about what happened in January 2011. I don't got to go with you because this crowd is pretty educated. I know. I've talked at Fighting Bob Fest. And I know they know, you guys know what we're talking about. But January 2011, state is broke, shared sacrifice. What did he give? Governor Walker gave tax breaks, brought back the Las Vegas loophole to the top 1% of wealthy Wisconsinites in our state. You bring your business into the state of Wisconsin from Iowa, Illinois, no taxes paid from any corporation for 2 years. 2 years, free income. Make all the money you want here in the state of Wisconsin, pay no taxes back to society for 2 years. But our state is broke, and we need shared sacrifice. They told us it would cost $7.5 million to clean the Capitol. I guess that's from the painter's tape on the marble. I guess that doesn't work so well. And we need shared sacrifice, and our state is broke. So shared sacrifice. So then February comes. February 11th, 2011. Budget repair bill, $3.6 billion deficit. Workers' rights taken away. Union rights taken away. Because we can't afford it anymore. We can't afford these over-exaggerant union rights. They shouldn't have the right to sit back and collectively bargain. Talk about hours, wages, and working conditions. Matter of fact, here in the city of Madison, firefighters Local 311 saved the city of Madison over $2 million, $4 million actually over 2 years by just making concessions, by coming to the bargaining table. But that can't work any longer because unions cost too much money. Our state is broke. We need shared sacrifice. Right now, it seems like we sacrifice and they share the wealth. So then Act 32 comes, the big budget. So it wasn't enough just to take away workers' rights and union rights. No, no, we're not done yet. No, that's not what Koch brothers said. That's not what Alex said. We got more to do here in our state. 12,000 women that used to go to Planned Parenthood, not for the woman's right to choose, mind you, but just for basic health care because they couldn't afford the health care of their employer, cervical screening cancer. 12,000 women, funding cut. 30% cut from tech colleges right here in our state, but they think education is important, and our state is broken. We need shared sacrifice. Over $1.6 billion from public education taken away. A city like this, the city of Milwaukee has $84.6 billion a year taken away from public education. Now, if there's whether you like Milwaukee or not, if there's any city in our state that needs education and great public education, great schools, it's the city of Milwaukee. We all need that. But that's been taken away. Well, that's been taken away. Child labor law weakened. We don't talk a lot about this. If you're under the age of 18 years old, you can work more hours and more days per week in our state. But our state is broke, and we need shared sacrifice. Voter ID, voter registration, which I like to call voter suppression. Yes. Back in, I know we're in Black History Month, and we talk about Martin Luther King. We all know that Martin Luther King talked about not just civil rights, but union rights. Matter of fact, in 1968, April of 1968, he was there to march with the Memphis sanitation workers, an AFSCME local, which AFSCME started right here in Wisconsin, by the way, by 1936. But he was down there to march with the Memphis sanitation workers because of the deplorable conditions that they had to endure. But he was assassinated during that. The day before that, he gave his Top of the Mountain speech, which is one of my favorite speeches of all time. Our state is broke. And we need shared sacrifice. Voter ID. The John Birch Society back in Martin Luther King's day are the same modern Koch brothers that we have right now. Yes. The same people, just a different suit. Maybe not double-breasted, maybe just single-breasted, no. But it's sickening. It's implorable. It's bringing back the Crow laws, Jim Crow laws. So when the administration came to us, and told us that firefighters, police officers, you are exempt. You can stay on an island by yourself. We don't need you to come out and protest. We don't want you to be there. And it's going to be about 2 weeks. We are told it's going to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks of people being upset. It'll be 2 weeks of people being angry. And after the 2 weeks, people will go home and realize that the sky has not fallen. Our legislative fiscal bureau has estimated that over the next 10 years, $2.3 billion of massive tax cuts to corporations and the wealth in our state, $2.3 billion. But they told us, firefighters and police officers, that we're exempt and we can be out on an island by ourselves. Well, we not only told them no, but we told them hell no, and we're not going to sit out and do that. And the reason why, I'm sorry, is this yours? It's not yours. You don't have anything, do you? I get it. Okay, thank you. I do now, huh? I feel older all of a sudden, and all of a sudden white. My hair is graying up. I'm sorry. But anyway, back to serious talk. So the administration came to us and told us that we can sit out this one out, that we don't have to sit in. We said, hell no. And I'm sorry to curse again, but I'm sorry. What did Martin Luther King say? An injury to one? Now, I know we can say it louder and prouder than that. An injury to one?
Injury to
all. Damn right. So we have these rich and wealthy people in the United States of America, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but the rich and wealthy now. And what time do we transcend from calling rich and wealthy, which is nothing wrong with being rich and wealthy. I love rich and wealthy people. They buy me drinks. It's great. But now we call rich and wealthy, now we call them job creators. Back in the 19th century, they called them robber barons under Governor Ruskin and Governor Schofield. But now we call them job creators. At what time do we transcend from calling teachers, firefighters, police officers, heroes, but now we call them, they're the problem. We're the haves. Everybody else is the have-nots. This current administration has done a great job at telling us that we are the haves and they're the have-nots, and they have done a great job at pitting public sector versus private sector, as Kathleen Vinehouse, Senator Vinehouse said. We have to stop this. We have to stop this. But how do we stop this communism of millionaires, as they call it? Well, how do we stop this pornography of power? Well, we were asleep. Unions were asleep in 2008. We took a lot of things for granted. And I can speak from the union side of things. And I can speak especially for firefighters and police officers. The days of us voting for three issues, gays, guns, and God, have got to be over. Those days have got to be over. The Second Amendment rights is all we talked about. Just having our guns. We don't want any Democrat taking our guns away. Second Amendment rights. And then God. No woman's right to choose. We don't want that. And then gays. We don't want same-sex marriage. Well, that's cockamamie propaganda. And I say it, I'm not supposed to say this, and I know it's on camera, but I'm probably not running anyway, so I always say that, you know, let gays get married. If they want to be miserable, let them be miserable too. Just kidding. I love my wife. This is fun, isn't it? My name is Senator Kathleen Vinehout. Thank you. I want your vote. But anyway, we were asleep. 39.39. Here's a telling story. 39.6% of union members. 39.6% of union members voted for Scott Walker in his current administration. I know it makes me sick too. 39.6% of union members. So it's our fault. It's the leadership's fault. It's my fault that we didn't educate our members on what really was going to happen. And they all say, well, we didn't know he was really going to do this. Well, we didn't really know he was going to take union rights away. We thought, you know, talking about smaller government, he was talking about us. Well, that's not the case. We have a tax in New Hampshire right now. We have a tax in Ohio. We have a tax in Florida. Jan Brewer in Arizona went absolutely crazy, insane. She's nuts, as John talked about. She's waving her finger at the president. Come on, man. But the world is watching. The world is watching us right now, so we have to win. We have to win. And this is our SB 5. This is our issue number 2, and we have to be strong and ready and equipped for the battle. We have to bring everything to the game, as we talked about before, money, marbles, and chalk, everything it takes to play, and we will prevail. I guarantee we will prevail because we have people power. We may not have the money that Scott Walker's going to have. We may not have the $20, $30, $40, $50 million, but I can guarantee you we have the people behind us. We have over 1 million signatures saying we want him out of here. We want him out of here. He only won by 124,000 votes. We got that. But we got to keep the pain on. We got to make sure that we are there. We got to keep the pressure on. We got a John Doe investigation. Who knows what's going to come out of that? I'm telling you right now, whether that comes out or not, we cannot hinge on that. We have to make sure that we are strong, ready, equipped, and armed for the battle. And we got to make sure our resolve is stronger. Our pain has to last deeper. And our passion has to be stronger, because we have to win, because this is bigger than you. This is bigger than me. This is about history, and this is about justice. And I guarantee you, when this is all said and done, we will be on the right side of justice and the right side of history. Solidarity, brothers and sisters.
Great.